often as you did it for one of these least of all people, you did it to me. Matthew 25. As we all know, there's a great passion today to make religion relevant to where the people are at. The problem with that, of course, is that we are not always at where we ought to be at. Take this version of Matthew 25, a version that is indeed painfully relevant to where many people are at today. I was hungry, and you said you needed to build a war machine so that you might be secure. I was thirsty, and you said that the resources of the world already were stretched to their limits, and it was time to get rid of the excess population. Now, as a stranger, and you banded together because you said you trust only your own lily-white kind. And I was naked. And you said, the poor we will always have with us. But I was ill. And you said, I'm tired of misfits who are always complaining about the way things are. And I was in prison, and you said, charity begins at home. And Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, a stranger, or naked, or ill, or imprisoned? The point today is not to readjust Matthew 25 to where we are at. The point is that we are to grow to make ourselves relevant to where the terrible challenge of Christ the King is at, in Matthew 25, in his own words. And this Christ the King is the strangest king who ever ruled, not from a throne, but from a broken cross, from a tree. There are many people who admire him from afar, but the only kind of admiration that he asks for is the admiration of emulation. He tells us that to worship him means to serve him in his oppressed sisters and brothers. He tells us that all other worship is empty and false. He tells us that to serve him is to serve the needs of our own human sisters and brothers, in whom he lives with his risen spirit. He lives in them. All other service is an empty delusion. It seems that the abiding problem of Christianity is that Christians want to be committed to Christ without being committed to his needy sisters and brothers. And yet, Christ has already closed that option. He has so committed himself that he is to be found or served in no other way than in his own sisters and brothers who live with us today. It means then that service to Christ the King really is nothing less than social action, which means work, sweat, and tears. It might involve social movements for some people, political causes for others, or for most people, simply the day-by-day work of some kind of intensive concern for just those few people in our lives who need our help. But at any rate, it is social. That is, it takes us out of our own cell of individualism, out of our old little world of grabbing and getting for ourselves, into that other world of self-giving for others. There was a young preacher who was assigned to a little church in Kentucky. He was young, and he wasn't aware that it was near the home of the Kentucky Derby. And so the first sermon, he wanted to make it memorable and give a fierce condemnation of horse racing. And so after the sermon, the parish council president told him where he was, that many people in the congregation were breeders and trainers of thoroughbred racehorses. And so the young preacher took the hint. And on the following Sunday, he preached a roaring sermon, the evils of smoking. And again, the parish council president gently cautioned him about the subject matter because the parish was located in the very midst of tobacco farms, and the people depended upon tobacco for their livelihood. And so the next Sunday, the young preacher bitterly denounced whiskey, only to discover that Kentucky also had several famous distilleries. And so the young preacher said to the council president, who came to him again, "Well, then what can I preach on?" And the parishioner said, "Well, why don't you preach against those heathen witch doctors? There isn't one of them around for at least 1,000 miles. That is more apt than you think. In this community, in the few times that I have touched upon any kind of social concern." There are so many people today who cling to a highly privatized religion. They want to negotiate with God on a one-to-one basis all their lives. According to Matthew 25, the final judgment will not be based upon whether or not we've enjoyed a great number of private spiritual experiences. The measure of the final judgment is going to be scandalously materialistic. It has to do with clothing and food and drink and being compassionate toward people who are oppressed in 101 different ways. That is what it's going to be like, because the Spirit of the risen Christ lives in all of those oppressed people. It becomes very obvious over the years that there's a constant shifting of values that takes place somewhere between the time we spend here in church and the time that we go out there into the world. During the week, we look forward to this opportunity here in church because we know that it is indeed a good time. We come here because our heart is restless, and it does need refreshment from the Good Shepherd. And we come to worship with a sense of wonder. What will the Lord do today? What good things will I discover here? God will become present to me again in a special way. We know that. In a worship setting such as this, we can receive light in different levels. We receive new hope, new insights, new approaches to old problems, new levels of understanding toward our neighbors, our friends, our family, even our enemies. A worship service can enrich our life in all of these ways if we are open to the possibilities and to the surprises that it is able to bring. But you see, It's not the music. It's not the preacher. It's not the sermon. It's not the ritualistic setting of the chapel. It happens to be God. It is God, the living God, in our midst, who uses all of these elements, music and song and words and setting, only as instruments of his grace. It is the living God using these elements to call each one of us out of our own private isolation, out of our fear, out of our loneliness. God does all of this for us in our worship experience, and that is why you and I look forward to it with hope, anticipation. We wonder what will happen next. But sometimes we've discovered nothing happens. You might get a flash of inspiration, but you never discover what you were really looking for, a deep, deep sense of the presence of God in your life. You don't discover the deep cleansing healing that you really want, and you ask why. Jesus puts his finger on the problem in today's gospel. He tells us why, because it depends entirely upon the attitude and the approach that we have to our worship. What Jesus said today is similar to what occurred 800 years before when the great prophet Amos said almost the same thing to the people of the Old Testament. Amos looked around and saw the sanctuaries filled with people who loved to come to worship. They loved the music and the preaching and the sacrifice and the praying. And then Amos looked around beyond the sanctuary, and he saw all around him the poverty and the racism as it existed 1,000 years before Jesus. And Amos saw the wars, and he saw all of those exploited people being oppressed. Jesus simply repeated in Matthew 25 what Amos said 1,000 years before. That if that is our attitude, then we are working against our own best interest. If we remain indifferent to human need at any level, to that kind of self-interest, we discover it becomes self-defeating. We need to become aware that the healing, the salvation, the liberation that the living God offers to us is not ever to become privately negotiated. It is not some kind of private property that once we have, we put in a little box and protect it from anyone else. Salvation, liberation, and healing, and discovering God is discovered in what the living God is doing in the whole community all week long. God is active and at work all week long in our community, particularly through the people who are crying out to us in their needs. It is the liberating process that all of us need to learn how to share with those people. That's what today's gospel is about. That's what salvation is about. And that is why the words of Ezekiel that we heard this afternoon come true. Now, through us people, the lost I will seek out through you, says the Lord. The strayed I will bring back. The injured people I will bind up through you.